In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
I was really hoping that you know, you guys were going to win and you could kind of have fun with him a little bit in the post game.
Yeah, whoa.
Whoa.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score. Yeah, I wanted DJ to kind of tease him, give him a hard time. Just instead of saying whoa, say who.
Yeah. Who? What?
Yeah. That'd be fun.
That didn't happen.
No.
Always good to talk to DJ Moore.
Yeah, he's a good man.
So yesterday, the Bears replugged in the mini fridge. So Doug Kramer had a moment in the backfield.
That's right.
And I was just beside myself thinking they're going to either hand him the ball or throw him a pass.
Let him throw a pass.
He blocked. He kind of missed a block.
He missed a block. You should have heard Tom. That was pretty funny. Tom's like, come on, you got to hit someone. Yeah, it was pretty funny.
So
didn't matter. They scored.
After the game, we're going down to the locker room in the press box sitting next to Mark Grody, and we're waiting for the elevator, and we get in the elevator, and on the elevator are a couple, older couple with 68 jerseys on.
His folks.
His grandparents.
Oh, really?
His grandparents. His grandparents.
Wow.
Yeah, his grandparents. And they're sitting there, they're standing there in the elevator, and we're talking about, you know, just the game, and some people are on the elevator, and all of a sudden, the grandmother of Doug Kramer realizes, she says, well, I think Mark Grody says something like, well, we know you listen to The Score. Thank you for listening to The Score. Something to that effect. Didn't hear exactly what Grody said, but she says, oh, yes, well, who are you? And he said, well, I'm Mark Grody. And she says, you're Mark Grody. I love you. I love listening to you. You're Mark Grody. And Doug Kramer's grandmother had an appreciation for Mark Grody, and it was quite a moment. And his grandfather also talked about, you know, how proud they were, and it was cool. It was neat, and it was nice to see Mark Grody celebrated as well as seeing Doug Kramer's grandparents.
They were proud of Grody?
Yes.
Oh, no.
They were proud of Doug, but they were thrilled to see Grody. It was fun.
I'm always thrilled to see Grody.
It was. It was good. Good
He's
moment.
A good man.
And then we went down and listened to Matt Eberflus.
Yeah, well, then the fun came to a
buzzkill
halt.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, he's not exactly. He's improved. They gave him some training, right, in the offseason.
That doesn't matter now.
His look
tough times
is
don't last, but tough people do.
It doesn't matter now. None of that stuff is relevant anymore.
What about the barber and the hair?
No. It's largely irrelevant. And you talk about being too nice.
What about the look?
Here's the truth. Those things mattered if the Bears were good, and it would be fun. You talk about having fun. Fun is winning. Winning is fun. Thank you, Ozzy.
The honey.
When you don't win and you invent ways to lose, the other stuff becomes nonsense.
Oh.
It just is, because you don't care about those things if you're presiding over a losing operation, and it's not fun when you see these things happen time and again that lead to losses. All you worry about is, you know, is how to fix what's broken. And what's broken, there's so much broken about the Bears still.
Yeah. And sadly, he's the man. He's, I don't want to call him the manufacturer of broken, but he is the overseer of broken.
Well, let's just say he's the repairman who can't fix stuff. And he's the guy that you want to be a little handier than he is.
It's almost worse than that. He's like the repairman that is slamming the hammer on his own thumb.
Ow!
You know what I mean?
Did it
he's
again.
He's like injuring himself.
And you know, look.
Fixing anything.
It's a tough job to be a head football coach in the NFL, and nobody's diminishing that. But I think if this far into his third season, it is fair to wonder if, I mean, it's not even fair to wonder. It's understandable to conclude that they have the wrong guy. I totally understand why people would say that. That's not a personal shot, and you know how I feel about him personally, but professionally, it's difficult to look at the Bears and seeing any other way to fix this problem without another change. And I just don't know how high you would go at this stage.
I think it's pretty extraordinary, David, that really since the Washington game, the reaction from – it's almost a universal reaction – is that the guy's got to go. It's just been every week for whatever reason that he – like his credibility took a hit and it hasn't recovered. And it's gotten worse as these losses have gotten
worse. It's because these games are not – these losses are not evidence or you're not seeing physical domination.
Right.
You're not seeing – a disparity in talent that is great enough to justify losing these games.
Yes.
You're seeing against the Commanders and you're seeing against the Packers, who are two playoff teams, playoff caliber teams.
The Bears are good enough to win.
The Bears are good enough to beat, to have beaten both of them. And what it comes down to is work in the margins. And what you need in those situations in the NFL and all pro sports is somebody that makes you realize how much coaching matters. And in a positive way.
Yes.
And you've been realizing it now for two losses and through this four-game losing streak, how coaching can matter in a negative way. The inability to control the end-of-game situations is what's plaguing the Bears most right now.
Yeah.
It's not because we can argue about the roster and hold him accountable for not having an offensive line that's deep enough to absorb all these injuries and all this attrition.
They've had a lot of injuries on the offense.
But let's face it, on the surface, the roster is good enough.
Yeah.
Good enough
to win
more often than they're winning. This is a coaching disparity. You're at a mismatch and a disadvantage each and every game. That's overstating it. But you're at a disadvantage enough to make a difference and not to win these games you should be winning.
You know, I think the Flower yesterday talked about, in the post game, he talked about how difficult life is in the NFL. That there are these teams, like, everybody is close to 500. Everybody is good enough to be 500. And what separates that is exactly what you're talking about. What separates it is that, you know, there's a lot of tough games in the NFL. We see a lot of games come down to the wire. And some coaches tend to win and other coaches find a way to lose. And we talked about it in the first segment, how a guy like Mike Tomlin, who beat Baltimore again, he's got a feel for how to beat certain teams, and he can beat them. And I hate to say it, but I think Matt LaFleur has a pretty good feel for how to beat the Bears, and he beats them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that they're any better than the Bears, but they've won in the margins, and they've done that now 11 consecutive times. That's not by mistake when you can win that many. And frankly, the Bears haven't been competitive with Green Bay in a very long time.
It's been too long.
And way too long.
Yesterday was competitive, but it wasn't to the point where you ever felt confident they were going to finish the job.
Right.
Even as they lined up for the field goal, you feared what would happen next, and you thought, are they going to find a way to blow this one, to blow this moment for Caleb Williams?
It's
the most reliable part of their operation is the field goal.
Yeah.
The extra point.
Yes.
The kicker involved. You snap it, you hold it, you kick it, you're good. It's good. And it didn't work.
It's such a terrible way to lose. It's a terrible way to lose because you've got this young quarterback you're trying to build up. He had a comeback game. He had his confidence going. He was... You know, maybe his confidence got going by running the football a little bit, by being able to move the chains. They came back after being down, then they were down again, and they came back again. And then you march down the field, and here you are, ready to win the game. And I get it, they scored 19 points, but it felt like they had better performance than that.
No doubt.
And then here you are. You got a field goal. It's one of the good operations you have. The guys hit how many from 50 yards, and you can't finish. You can't get it done. And it felt so hollow.
Individually, there was growth and progress. You could point to guys like Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze.
Yeah, yeah.
And even DJ Moore having 7 targets and 7 receptions. These are things that you celebrate individual growth and progress in good games. Collectively, though, it's a failure to the extent that none of the other stuff really matters.
Yeah.
Because you lost again to your rival and you lost your fourth straight. So suddenly a team that at one point was talked about being a playoff contender is underachieving. 4-6, you didn't expect this, and it makes all those high expectations at the beginning of the season seem like it was a very long time ago.
312-644-6767. Omar is listening on the Odyssey app. Hey, Omar.
Hey, gentlemen. You guys have pretty much touched on what I wanted to say. Caleb, I think, has demonstrated that he is the answer. He's the real deal that we needed and we've been waiting for. However, when you look at our coaching and you compare our coaching staff or our head coach to all the other coaches in the division, it's not even close. You look at Jim Harbaugh, you look at Sean Payton, and you think about what Tariq Stevenson did that one game against the Redskins. That would have never happened on one of their teams. So the biggest thing we need to do is make a big splash like we did with the quarterback selection at the coaching level. Finally get a big name in who demands respect. You think about when Sean Payton took the job, any assistant he called would easily jump to him. Eberflus is mediocre by comparison. And so the level of talent as a coaching staff that he can accumulate is going to be on his same level. That's the problem right then. And until the Bears fix that, we'll be having these same conversations week in and week out, year in and year out, as we've had the last, I don't know how many years. But if they're serious about beating the Packers and other teams, they have to change at the top for the coaching. They need to get an elite coach like Ben Johnson, or if you guys can think of somebody else, but a splash coach who can come in and pay attention to the details, the small details, which are preventing us from winning.
Thanks so much.
And with that, you guys have a great day.
Thank you, buddy.
If only one would have been available last January. I got to finish the thought on this, on Harbaugh, because of the parallels to yesterday was so, I'm sorry. I got to point this out, Molly. Get it out of my system.
Please.
29 seconds to go. 26 seconds to go. They're at the 29-yard line.
Mm-hmm.
They could win the game with a field goal. You know what Jim Harbaugh wanted to do? Get it closer. He hands off to Dobbins, and you know what happens? Touchdown.
Yeah.
Touchdown. So J.K. Dobbins scores from 29 yards out with 26 seconds to go. It's 34-27 instead of 30-27. The kick isn't blocked because you didn't put that in that situation. And then before the Bengals had their final Hail Mary toss, timeout Chargers. Timeout Chargers. Because you know why? That's what you do to control the situation as much as you can.
For the play. Yep.
Jesse Minter, the defensive coordinator, shout out to him. Good family, good football family. And that's what they did. They closed the job because great coaches are great closers. The Bears can't close.
I well said. I can't argue that fact. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 at the score.
I mean, you'd be damned if you do, damned if you don't.